Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it's Draven McConville. Draven, you are the CEO and founder of Clipboard. You are found on the web at clipboard.io and then your personal website, dravenmcconville.com. Draven, it's great to have you.
Great to be on, Josh. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Before we talk about your work with Clipboard, and you've had a couple of very successful exits, which we'll talk about a little bit as well. I always love hearing what high-level leaders do for fun or kind of passionate about outside of work. And what have you been into lately?
Well, I absolutely love motorcycles. I've been riding bikes since I was 3-4 years of age, dirt bikes, off-road bikes. I will soon be hopefully riding a motocross bike across the Mongolian desert for 10 days. And I even get my dog to join in on the backpack with me. So that's a little bit of fun. And then maybe a bit more old school is I have a passion for collecting antiques. So they're the two things that can keep me fired up outside the business realm.
What do you have a favorite motorbike that you own or that you have owned?
Well, I am an American fan of Harley Davidson, so that's what I currently ride. One's a big touring bike because my wife and I go touring a lot as well. And then, I do like sports bikes as well, so I love a Ducati. But no man that rides motorcycles should only have one, Josh. You have to have more than one. Just don't tell him why.
It's like outfits, right? You need one for, depending on what you're doing, for sure. What is it emotionally you get out of that experience?
That's actually a really good question, because when I was running the startups and building those up into scalable businesses, I needed to find headspace. And, some people go to the gym, but I have such an overactive mind. I'm very, very curious. And when you're on a motorcycle, you can't be that way. You have to literally focus on the road ahead of you. Otherwise, you're in danger. I know some people will say, well, that's the same as a car, but it's not, because a car could take you out. So you have to be hugely focused on what's in front of you. So it's quite meditative in a way.
Yeah.
So it switches me off. It gives me that headspace, fresh air, feeling of freedom. And I suppose I love the little bit of risk with it, which is what running businesses is like as well, is that risk.
Yeah. Very, very cool, Draven. Share with us a little bit about your work professionally. And if you wouldn't mind maybe talking about Clipboard, which is, again, not your first company that you've started, but you just experienced a very successful exit on that. But yeah, give us an overview.
Yeah, I've had two exits in the business world. Both have been in tech. First business was a software development agency, so it's more service driven. So therefore, when I decided to start Clipboard, I wanted to build a SaaS product, much more scalable, compounding recurring revenue model, subscription based, etc. But I wanted to build it in a space that was, overlooked. And that's for the tradespeople, technicians, those that are working in the field doing jobs like servicing air conditioning units, plumbers, those tradespeople that work hard. So totally underserved and typically a paper-based methodology. So I decided to build a digital platform, field service platform that would address that. I built that over 9 years, took some outside investment from angels and venture, etc., scaled it up. And then in July of 2024, I was acquired by Carriage Commercial Systems, which is a $1 billion ERP company, private equity owned, and subsequently, Carriage Commercial Systems has now rebranded globally to Clipboard as well, which was a bit of a proud moment for me.
Wow. They liked your name better
They
than
liked my name
theirs
better,
was a
even.
mouthful. Clipboard rolls
Yeah.
off the tongue a lot better.
Interestingly, that was the thing that they said, that they wanted something a lot easier. And they had it for quite a while. So, it took a lot of confidence in them to be able to make that change. Obviously, they're the bigger entity. I was smaller, still a substantial business, but smaller in comparison to them.
Yeah.
So, great to see that happen.
What was your experience in working with investors as opposed to just bootstrapping?
So, experience of both, actually, which is an interesting perspective. Obviously, the first business I bootstrapped, and I suppose you can do that more so in a service type business where you can win a project and keep winning a few projects and build it up that way. You can obviously do that in SaaS driven tech companies as well, and other types of software companies, or bootstrapping any type of company. But my experience was that I needed to build quite a comprehensive piece of software, and I knew that was going to take time to do and large substantial cost and investment, and therefore I couldn't win any early business to fund that whilst we went through it. So we had some angel investors that we took on, and then, as I said, we took on a venture fund based out of Seattle to help us build it and scale that. It was an interesting journey. I had about four, I don't know the exact number, but it was in the high to mid 40s of no's. Trying to win that first round of investment, which was pretty exhausting and tiring,
Wow.
but learned a lot about what investors look for, what they're wanting from a business, what they're wanting from a founder, to be perfectly honest as well, because they invest in people more so nearly than the business itself. So that was an interesting journey. And I was the first British-based UK London company that this American investor backed. So that was another big tick as well. But once you get on that journey, Josh, you have to accept that you're going to have to keep raising capital, and that someday you're going to have to exit the business. So I wouldn't do it unless you're comfortable with that prospect. I think equally, you can build a great business bootstrapping it, get a successful sale if you want at the end of it, or just continue being that owner operator of building a really successful business. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Take an investment.
Yeah. Well, take me through a bit of your kind of your observations about yourself emotionally, at the prospect of an exit. Like, what was it finally that where it started to make sense for you? Or did you, was this the plan all the way along? And what I guess what I'm most curious about is what did you observe in yourself that maybe you didn't expect? Exactly. Maybe with your first exit as well, because again, a lot of this then is going to be new to you. This second exit, you've kind of been through this a little bit more. So you probably knew a little bit more of what you might be experiencing.
You definitely know a little bit more, but I think each experience is fundamentally different. This time around, I'm obviously still very much involved with the business, and I'm a president of a division within the large corporation that bought us. So I've got long-term commitments with them, and that was really important to me about who we exited the business to. But if I step back to the run-up to that, when you take outside investment, investors will always want a return on their investment at some point. And especially if you take institutional capital, like a venture capital, they will be working on a fund cycle, and that fund will deploy capital and then want that capital returned at some point, with obviously an increase in it. And that is the cycle. So you do know from early on that you will be exiting at some point. But you can decide if you've got the right shareholders and structures and everything else. You can decide as a founder when that is the appropriate time. I realized it was an appropriate time because I'd taken the business to that next stage, that next level, but I wanted to go beyond that. And also, I've seen a lot of consolidation in the market as well, but still a lot of opportunity to go after. And also, we got an awful lot of approaches. from various different types of buyers. So we had trade buyers that wanted to buy us because we were annoying them competitively and they wanted to put our lights out. And then we had obviously, PE buyers wanting to buy it. And then we had ones like who we sold to, which was it's an acquisition to help them build out a specific division, but also very complementary to the other products that they sell in the group. What was important to me was that the business went to the right home and my team went to the right home. So my psychology wasn't just about who's going to write the biggest check. It was about what's the future of the business, my own future, the team's future, etc. And of course, does it economically make sense as well, and the deal that they're offering? And we went with it with these guys because they didn't have a field service product in their portfolio, so we knew that we were going to be that main leading product in the division, so all our work and efforts wouldn't be stopped because we were just bought by a competitor. And we also seen the huge growth potential of being able to be complementary to all the rest of their customers that we could cross-sell into. So it ticked a lot of boxes and the world aligned, financially it aligned, and I think psychologically I was ready. I was at that point in my journey to make that step as well. So I think sometimes you have to recognize as a founder when that point you've reached and when you need extra elements brought in to take it to the next stage.
Did your life in when you brought on investors, did you feel like your life got easier or more challenging? And included with that, how about your stress level?
Stress levels are always high, I think, when you're building from scratch. I think even some people say to you, "Oh, you've sold your business now. I'm sure your stress levels have dropped." No, I have different challenges and exciting challenges, obviously. But I think over the years of running companies, you learn to manage your stress and you get better at doing that. Taking on investors, my advice, having done this, and if people are looking at taking on investors into the business, it's imperative that you interview them just as much and understand what they're like, what value that they're really bringing to the table. And I don't mean monetary value, I mean other value outside of that. Because you've got to realize that you're going to get married to these guys for a period of time, and you want a supportive investor, not a disruptive investor. You want an investor that's long-term committed, that will follow on with additional capital rounds and help you lead, etc. So my experience is, I would say, is finding that right investor and getting married to the right one. Does it add challenges? I think in business, you're always answerable to someone, whether it's an investor that you've taken investment into, or in the US, the IRS, the tax man, your answer to paying those bills, or you're answerable to a bank that you may have taken a loan to. It's just a different person that you're answerable to in a way. But going back to it, the right investor will collaborate and be supportive with you. The wrong investor can be disruptive, and that will change the dynamic if you're not careful.
Well, Draven, what now? What do you imagine your life being like over the next year or so? Now you're still obviously on board with Clipboard, so it's not like you've not doing you still have your role there as the CEO, is that right?
I'm now the president of the field services division within the group. So I'm leading and building out that division, which will involve potentially acquiring other businesses in the same vertical, and obviously scaling our operations in South Africa, Benelux, Nordics, Australia, and the US, as well as obviously UK and Ireland. And Canada as well. So there's a lot of investment being poured into the division and scaling what I had created even more. So an exciting time. Do I know what's after that for me? I don't know, Josh. I think I'm got my eye on the ball and the current ball and the focus on that current opportunity. But if you've got a curious mind, you never stop of thinking of opportunities, do you? Really?
And who should be in, so for Clipboard itself, and I apologize, we didn't spend more time. You just really interested in your journey here, and you even have an amazing journey. I'd recommend someone go to your website that, so they can hear a little bit more of your background, where you were actually homeless at 18. But I have to ask you about Clipboard. So who should be reaching out to engage with Clipboard, and how does Clipboard help improve their operations?
So we look after field service businesses that perform any jobs in the field. So that is your HVAC technicians, fire safety technicians, plumbers, constructors, gardeners, landscapers, drainage people, anybody that performs a job in the field. We provide job management, field service management software that will help them to schedule their jobs, quote, invoice. I send jobs to their technicians in the field on a mobile application. The technician gets directions to the job, completes digital forms, takes payment off customers, etc. So it's a full 360 operational software that'll help field service businesses be far more efficient, do more jobs with less resources, and streamline operations simply. And that's where the name came from. It was getting rid of paper forms in the field that these guys would have used on an old school clipboard. And instead, they now use a mobile app to perform that operation.
This is a clipboard with a K, KLIP board, and the website is clipboard.io. And Draven, your personal website as well. I'd love to, for our friend that's listening right now, who should reach out and engage with you? Who should be reaching out and engaging with Clipboard, and kind of what those next steps are?
I'm always interested in hearing from other fellow business owners, entrepreneurs, anybody in the startup industries that, are going through those phases of scaling. I'm an active angel investor as well, so always keen to hear from people in those opportunities. Obviously, my business is in the software space in field service, so anybody in those verticals that I've just mentioned, feel free to reach out to me or my team to discuss those. I'm always on LinkedIn. I like to be active there, sharing stories, thought leadership stuff. As I've mentioned, I've had a bit of a journey to get to here, so it's great to be able to kind of share that with others.
All right. Again, your website's clipboard.io and dravenmcconville.com. Draven, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy your
Thanks, Josh.
next ride.
I will. I can't wait for it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your PodVerified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.